Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. What? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
The jury of your peers, having found you guilty, 10 years.
What? Come on.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning and welcome to Crossroads. We're still falling and dealing with the stress of incarceration and its impact with the coronavirus on our men and women who are locked up worldwide all over the country. And this is a crisis that don't seem to go away. But before we start this, I just wanted to say that yesterday I lost my brother, big brother, Ray Brown. And it really hurt. I mean, he's been in the nursing home for 4 years. And he went in the hospital Sunday and he died Monday. And we're going to miss him. We love him. And Ray helped a lot of people, just like Rico Rush, who passed away last week. These gentlemen, Ray been drug-free for 25 years and helped and assisted quite a few people. On recovery and getting their life in order. And one thing I just want to say, that he was my brother. He was 83. And in my entire life, I never heard him curse but one time. Ray was a gentleman. He was a gentleman among gentlemen. And we're going to miss you, big brother. Take care and Merry Christmas. Now we're going to go to with the rest of the show. Our topic this morning is dealing with the stress of coronavirus while incarcerated. And we got an added bonus. Joining us in the second half hour would be the world-renowned motivational speaker, author, TV, radio host, Mr. Willie Jolly. He's written several books. He's on Sirius Radio. He is on radio and TV programs locally, nationally, and internationally. So we're in for a treat with Dr. Willie Jolly, who will be joining us in the second hour to let out, you know, there's some things you can do while you're going through this to keep your spirits up, to relieve the stress, and to keep on keeping on. But first, we open up what we call the grapevine. Hey. Arrests plummet nationwide as police and criminals pull back. Law and order is changing across the U.S. during the coronavirus pandemic. As police pull back on arrests for small crimes and focus on breaking up gatherings that pose health risk. Parole and probation heads across the country are calling for drastic reductions of new probationers and parolees over the COVID-19 concerns. And, folks, the coronavirus sparks fear in prison strikes and protests and riots around the world. Inmates in Italy have been protesting. In Brazil, 23 inmates were killed by the guards in terms of trying to get out of the prison. Venezuela, Peru, Chile, France, China, all over the world, inmates inside of institutions are demanding to be released. They're rioting, they're protesting. Some of the guards have been accused of bringing in, walking in with the coronavirus attached to their clothes. So this is causing a tremendous amount of fear. And in view of this, judges, prosecutors, probation officers, law enforcement people, and correctional administrations are all around the world are asking for a release of these folks. But here's the catch. There's one governor in Texas. As the coronavirus spreads in Texas, two of the biggest county jails, Governor Greg Abbott, it's made it harder for thousands of inmates to get out of local lockups. He barred inmates accused or convicted of violent crimes from being released without paying their bail. You're talking about money, and these guys are facing death inside of the jail. How can this punitive mentality keep on existing? Judge, feds must free migrant kids threatened by the virus. Concerned that thousands of migrant children in detention facilities could be in danger of contracting the coronavirus, a fellow judge ordered the government to make continuous efforts to release these kids who are being held in detention. An inmate dies. 30 prisoners and staff test positive at the L.A. prison in Oakdale, Louisiana. This is happening in New York. All over the country and all around the world, men and women are being forced to stay locked up with the virus spreading. And I know everybody's talking about letting out low-level, nonviolent offenders. But you're sent to prison to do time, not to die. If you got 20 or 30 years, your sentence is your sentence, not to be died. This is not a legal issue. This is a moral human rights issue to release our men and women and our kids. I haven't heard very little about the juveniles that are incarcerated in detention centers all over the country and around the world. Release our people now. People are dying. This is nothing to play with. You're talking about somebody's time. You sent to prison to do time, not to die. And for our seniors who are over 50, 55, let them out. We need to bring our people home. And the course is picking up all over the world. Even the Attorney General Barr is recommending that the BOP release people on home confinement. The U.S. Parole Commission is changing its position in terms of releasing people from a letter from Congresswoman Eleanor Holmes Norton and others who have written and demanded that the U.S. Parole Commission stop issuing technical warrants, let people out who got parole dates, stop violating people for technical non-criminal offenses like technical violations. Ladies and gentlemen, this is more than a crisis. Our lives are at stake. So let's consider them people inside of prison. As it says, 70% of the people in America has a friend, loved one, or somebody you know who is incarcerated. So, hey, let's do the right thing. Folks who make those decisions, you can let our people out, let them out. And that's been Crossroads today. Now we get to our topic for our show. Joining us on the phone this morning, and our topic is dealing with the stress of the coronavirus while incarcerated and the motivational techniques while incarcerated from our good friend, Dr. Willie Jolly. Hello, is Olinda Moore on the line? Good morning. Good morning.
So let me introduce just who Olinda is. Olinda is on the line. She needs to go on and just unmute herself. But we're talking about someone who, for 30 years.
Can you hear me? Hello?
Vote, can you hear me?
Hello?
Okay, we're having issues with the phone again.
Hello?
Vote, I can hear you.
Can you hear me in the kitchen?
I can hear you. Can you hear me? Roach? Okay, the lines are...
Let me put down this phone and call in on the other phone.
Roach?
Yes, go ahead, McKeith. Tell her to go ahead and keep on talking.
Okay, I'm not quite sure if the general public can hear, but I want to...
We're having problems with our phone.
Oh, Lord.
Good morning. Good morning.
Okay.
Hey, real quick.
Hey, Chris, my phone just dropped. I had to go back to my cell phone.
Bro, we can hear you on the air right now.
Okay.
You can hear me on the air right now responding to you.
Okay, thank you. Already.
What is it?
We've been having problems with the phone. I'm coming to you from my home. Joining me on the phone is our co-host, Nkechi Taifa. Are you there, Nkechi?
Yes, I'm
okay. We're trying to reach our first guest, Ms. Olinda Moore, former chief of parole division in the Public Defender Service in D.C. Are you there, Ms. Moore? Well, she's not there. Nkechi?
No, she's there. Hold on.
We will just go ahead and roll with it, lady. We're talking about dealing with the stress of coronavirus while incarcerated.
The public can hear you and me.
For the past two weeks, we've been doing shows addressing this particular issue. So this crisis is not going away. We have people coming in to deal with various aspects of how this virus has impacted not only the prisoners and their families, but society in general. Nkechi.
Yeah.
Okay, come on. Can you put your phone a little closer? I'm having trouble hearing you, lady.
No, because I was just trying
There you go. Folks, we're coming to you from our homes because of the virus. We can't go in the studio. And everybody is calling in to do the show, so we're having some technical problems. We appreciate it if you just bear with us while we work through this. This is the first time we did this, our show, from our house. So
Right.
Our first guest is not on. Nikija, well, what is the status with the U.S. Parole Commission? I understand that the Parole Commission is relinquishing or giving in or so, taking a second look at releasing those men and women who are on the parole. In fact, for folks who don't know, the U.S. Parole Commission has the sole authority to grant parole and release to those men and women convicted of a crime in Washington, D.C. We are the only city in America that the federal government has to make decisions on the releasing our inmates and our prisoners while they're confined. And the pushback on the parole commission has been that they've been very punitive, insensitive, letting our folk out. Guys would be in 15, 20, 30 years and go up for parole and get a 5 or 10 year rehearing date. And it's breaking people's back, and folks are just being devastated. So we got over 6,000 men and women from D.C. in the federal Bureau of Prisons. So Congressman Eleanor Holmes Norton has written letters. The city council members have written letters. Everybody all over the spectrum has written letters to the Parole Commission, who has authority to release our men and women on various forms of release. And that's what we've been fighting or trying to get done. Your take, Nikija, on this. Hello?
Roach, do you hear me?
Yeah, there? Your take. Well, I'm waiting on you, Nikija.
You just can't hear me. Okay, yeah, so we're in a catastrophe.
Her phone is having problems. It's hard hearing, Nikija, so I guess we're going to go ahead. Can you check and see Chris is our first guest on the line, Miss Olinda Mord?
Roach, they can hear me on the radio. You can't hear me.
Miss Mord, well, she's not there, so I guess I have to roll on with it. What we're talking about, folks, is that Congressman Eleanor Holmes Norton, now representative in Congress in D.C., wrote a letter to the chairwoman of the United States Federal Parole Commission and asking her to release parole violators, especially those who are sitting at the jail amid this critical health pandemic. Persons who test positive or who miss an appointment should not be subjected to cruel penalties, especially when such penalties could expose you to a deadly virus. Folks, this is more than a crisis. We've gotten calls, emails, and texts from people from all around the world saying what's going on to prisoners around the country in Italy. The word is spread that when the virus hit in the prisons in Italy, somebody said that 6 inmates had died from the virus, had died. And when the word got to the other guys at the other prisons, and one guy told another guy, and when it got to the end, the story had changed. And everybody thought that the 6 prisoners had died from the coronavirus. They had died from breaking into the prison pharmacy and taking methadone and overdosing on methadone. But you know how when you throw a story out there, and how when it gets around to the other end, it's altogether different. This has resulted in riots all over the country. The only country we haven't heard that it was riots in was Russia. And folk, I've never heard of anything like this. And folk are still saying only nonviolent offenders. If your life is at stake, what difference does it make? You go to jail to serve time, not to die. And because you broke the law and you done something 15, 20, 30 years ago, there's some people might not like. Some people we can't release. I understand that. I know that. There's some jokers I know in it. I wouldn't let tie up my shoes. You know what I mean? And I went out the other day, and I wasn't supposed to go out. I went out to get a sandwich. And, folk, I was scared to death. I stood at the door, and I watched folk as they came in. And I'm looking for the coronavirus. I'm watching people's shoes, pants, and clothes and trying to see if I could see the virus. Then it dawned on me, I don't know what the virus looked like. And even if I saw it, I wouldn't know what to do. And I'm scared, and I'm watching, and I'm looking. This kind of fear is frightening. Everywhere you go, you see fear in people's eyes. And you're going to the institutions, it's double trouble. It's more than that. Folk, call, do, write, email, text anybody you can to make sure.
Okay, Rose.
Yes.
Rose, can we see?
Yes.
Can we hear the guest? I heard her.
I'm having trouble hearing you. Can you call in on another line? I can hardly hear you, Nikija.
Hello? This is
yes, there you go.
Olinda, yeah.
Is this Ms. Morgan?
Yes.
Thank you for joining us. We've been having trouble with this with our phones because this is the first time we're broadcasting from home using our phones. So thank you for agreeing to come in, Miss Olinda Moore, former chief of parole division, the Public Defender Service in D.C. We're glad to have you.
Yes. Thank you so much, Roach, for having me on today. And I express my condolences in the loss of your brother.
Thank you.
I just want to also express my appreciation for you and Keechee and the work that you all continue to do in getting the information out to the community.
Thank you. And thank you for what you've been doing for the past 15, 20 years working as the chief of the parole division. So you're very knowledgeable about what's going on with the parole and the authority that the U.S. Parole Commission has in releasing our people, and how they've been getting letters, phone calls, and emails from all segments of society asking the U.S. Parole Commission to release our people.
Yes. So let me kind of put things in context. On any given day at the D.C. jail, about one-third of the population that's there are individuals who are there on parole warrants.
One-third?
The number is a little lower than that right now, but typically these are individuals who are there for missed appointments or for testing positive, individuals who have technical or administrative violations.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're again talking about a population of individuals who could easily be returned to their families and their loved ones. And I heard you say before that a person who goes in to serve a sentence, it shouldn't turn into a death sentence.
That's right. And that's what it's turning into.
Right. But these are individuals who have not even been sentenced for a new crime.
Yes.
These are individuals who are still, quote, on papers, on parole or supervised release, who are sitting at the jail waiting for a probable cause hearing or for a final revocation hearing to determine what that punishment should be for those administrative violations. And it certainly should not be death.
Is Ms. Edmondson on the line, Rashida Edmondson?
Yes, good morning. I'm here.
Good morning, Rashida Edmondson. You are the new chief of the parole division of the D.C. Public Service, Public Defender Service.
Yes, when Olinda left us to pursue her next ventures, I was tasked to step into her role.
Question, how critical, how urgent is this issue about getting parole granted? Or the parole commission release those folks out? Is that a cumbersome process? Can they do this? How soon can they do that? Or how soon can it be done?
Well, I mean, we are facing an issue of resources at the parole commission. We do know that they are short-staffed at the moment, that they are short on commissioners, they are short on examiners within there, and they are reviewing cases on individual basis. We have asked for actions to be taken to take whole groups of people at one time and release them. But I think the reality is that the parole commission has started releasing people. They have made some efforts to stop bringing people in.
What kind of efforts have they made?
What kind of efforts have they made?
Yes.
We are seeing much fewer people come through our probable cause hearing dockets. So there are fewer people being arrested at the front end. And the people who are being arrested at the front end, much more of them are being released after their first hearing. We'd like to see those numbers down to zero. We'd like to see no one being arrested on a parole warrant at this time.
I know the parole commission had a policy of sending folks to Philadelphia and other locations that have a parole revocation hearing. Is that still in effect?
So
yes,
the people who go to Philadelphia would be people who have new convictions. We haven't actually been seeing people be able to move from D.C. jail to the various institutions because the Bureau of Prisons has stopped a lot of their kind of inter-institution movement. So it is a bit of a question on how those hearings are going to go in the future. And we are certainly saying that every time a person has to have a hearing in an institution, that's endangering the lives of multiple people, the people who are held there, the people who have to come in and out of the institutions to continue to provide representation to our clients, staff members. It becomes a community problem every time you hold a person.
Right, so right. We're still having problems getting the Keechee's phone straight.
Roach, can you hear me right now?
Hello?
Another
question is that I know when they lock up folks for parole violation and they send you to Philadelphia or wherever, you're in transit. And then I think you just alluded to that, the fact that these men are being exposed to other folk. And if they have it or don't have it, they can give it up or catch it. And because of the close confines of the institution, that creates a double problem. And I know Miss Norton wrote a strong letter to the parole commission. City council member Charles White and a few others have written letters. What do you think is going to happen with the parole commission? Are they moving fast enough? Hello.
Yes, they have started moving, and like I said, we have seen people being released, and we are so appreciative of the folks who they are releasing, but we do think they need to continue doing more and releasing more. For instance, we have a group of people sitting in CTF for drug treatment who are the in a drug treatment program over there. These are people who we know the commission doesn't even want to continue holding. There's no reason they can't take everyone who's on that drug treatment unit and release them now, and let them seek treatment when it becomes safe to do that in the community. But they don't need to continue to be held at the D.C. Central Treatment Facility with the jail.
Yes, you know, I know folk from Washington, D.C. who've been in 30, 40, some even 46 years, and the parole commissioners continuously deny these men and women the right, the opportunity to be released. And because of the coronavirus, somebody is over 60, and these guys are 60, 70, and 80, and they've been in 30, 40, or somewhere close to 50 years. Do you think they should be released?
Absolutely. That is one of the things that we've asked, is that any person who they're holding at any posture, who is either in any of the medically vulnerable groups or over 50, 55, 60, they should be getting released, whether that's a person who's in pending a new violation, a person who's waiting for their parole grant. There are certainly clients we have who have gotten parole dates, but they're set off in the future.
Okay.
They should be released now.
Ms. Moore, what do you see right now that can happen or need to happen to expedite this process of getting our folk out of there?
Well, I believe that the agencies like the Public Defender Service, the ACLU, and even the Congresswoman are taking the right steps to make things happen. But what I'd like to do is, last night I had a conversation with a client, a former client, who was released last Wednesday. And I talked with him about what it's like to be in the jail during this time.
Right.
And one of the words that he used in his description, he said people are terrified, that they are worried about their families. He described that on his housing unit at the jail, that once a day a person comes in and they drop chemicals in the housing unit for the detailed inmates to use and spray down the door handle.
Mm-hmm.
He said that that's not done on a consistent basis. He described that being at the jail last week felt like he was trapped inside a confined space. That's how
Right. It's like almost being sitting in an electric chair and you're waiting on the juice to come through you, because you're sitting there, you know you're going to die, or the possibility is there, and there's nothing you can do, no one else can. Is there anything families can do who are listening and concerned about their loved ones? What can families do in during this crisis? Both of you, Ms. Edmondson or Ms. Moore?
Well,
hello.
I think in as much as families are lifelines, there are often ways that we get information. They are crucial in letting the public know what is happening inside. They are crucial in letting the parole commission know that the community cares about our community members and neighbors
mm-hmm.
who are being held in the jail. And certainly, you know, be in touch with your loved one's lawyers and make sure that everyone is aware of exactly what's going on and has the information that we need to be able to best advocate for our clients.
You know, Nikichi, is your phone squared away yet, young lady?
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You keep breaking up, but come on.
Okay, because I don't know why I couldn't be heard, but did Olinda and...
I'm having trouble hearing you, Nikichi. We'll be going through our break in a few minutes, and hopefully we can get things squared away by then. Olinda Moore, former chief of the Parole Division of Public Defender Service, and Rashida Edmondson, acting chief of the Parole Division of the D.C. Public Service. For the folks who are listening, what would you leave our audience with? But we're talking about what can about this dealing with the stress of coronavirus while incarcerated, and we're focusing this morning on the U.S. Parole Commission and what they should be doing to let our folks out. And they had the thought to do so. What can you tell our listeners that they need to be concerned with? The first one or two things that they need to be concerned with, especially the people who are incarcerated who are listening to the show. What would you say to them?
The first thing that I would say is to remind everybody that the Parole Commission, you mentioned at the top of the show that this is the only jurisdiction in the country where we have a federal agency that's making decisions about local issues.
Mm-hmm.
I would just remind everybody that the Parole Commission is scheduled for reauthorization in November of this year, and now is the time to let your local officials, the mayor, the city council, know, including the congresswoman, know that it's time for the Parole Commission to go out of business as it relates to having jurisdiction over D.C. residents, and for us to have in D.C., just like in every other jurisdiction, a local paroling authority.
Oh, boy, yes, yes. Okay, Ms. Moore, and you, what would you say?
Oh, that, hey, if you're looking for me, Ms. Edmondson.
That was Rashida speaking. I'm talking Ms. Moore now.
No, that was Olinda.
Well, I'm not, okay, but come on. Okay. All righty.
I would just say, certainly reach out to us. Let us know who you're seeing there. We are trying to get everyone who is medically vulnerable out immediately. We're trying to get everyone who is over that age out immediately. We are trying to get anyone who's there for a technical violation out immediately. We also think that people who have been arrested for new criminal conduct should be out now. They've likely been determined to be released by a court already. And like you said, every person who is in that institution now is at danger themselves, and it also becomes a public safety issue for the community as a whole, as we have people coming in and out of institutions to work there, to advocate for them, to be their lawyers. People who are there should also not be looking at decreased due process rights. We have to have our hearings there. We should be able to continue to see our clients. We should be able to continue to have visits for people who are there.
Okay.
And all of that is at danger as long as they are held during the coronavirus.
Okay, thank you. All right, we're coming to the close to the half of our show. Can you, both ladies, give us some closing comments? Because we're starting the second half with Dr. Willie Johnson. Ms. Moore, can you give us some closing comments then, Ms. Edmondson, please?
I would just start by, again, commending you all for getting information out that's vital to the community. I believe that, as Rashida indicated, it's important for family members. This is the time to get engaged, to be involved. If this pandemic had not happened, I think that we would still be pushing the Parole Commission, as we have for years, to not lock up people who don't need to be in jail, as you said.
Yes, yes, yes.
Being served for people that absolutely need it.
Somebody
who missed an appointment with their parole officer does not need to be in jail.
It's a non-criminal offense. Okay, Ms. Edmondson, your closing comments, please.
We are grateful for the fact that we have fewer people coming in on these warrants and grateful for the fact that more people are releasing. We are looking forward to the Parole Commission taking action to where no people are being brought in on parole warrants anymore, to where everyone who's there on technical violations with pending criminal cases, with cases that have already been dismissed or acquitted in court, people with medical vulnerabilities and are 60 or older can be released immediately. We're looking forward to having our folks in the BOP who are eligible for parole being paroled out now so that they're not stuck in the BOP institutions where we don't see them as often. We're just really looking forward to having our people come home where they're not at danger for this virus.
Thank you. I guess it's been Ms. Olinda Moore, Esquire, former chief of the Parole Division of the Public Defender Service in D.C., and the acting chief of the Parole Division of the D.C. Public Defender Service, Ms. Rashida Edmondson. I want to throw something out there that for everybody to consider is that when they release these hundreds of men and women from the prisons back to D.C., what then? We need to have a task force set up to address the immediate needs. Since we're on quarantine and you can't come out, these men and women do not have ID, Social Security, TANF, eligible for food stamps, can't get housing. So the city government And all citizens need to have an emergency task force to adjust, to make sure, and to assist in the relocation and the stabilization of those men and women who are coming out under this coronavirus thing. That's something we all need to consider. We sent a letter to the congresswoman the other day about what these issues. So I know that you have Bessie Bybin works with you, work down in the public defenders on reentry. This is something that all hands on deck need to get involved in every aspect of the city, and the mayor need to set up a relocation task force to help and assist these men and women trying to adjust after 30 or 40 years in prison and don't have any income, any viable place to live. They're not eligible for food stamps. They can't even get an ID. They can't cast a check because they don't have ID. So one problem leads to another problem, but I'd rather deal with this problem in the street than deal with it on the inside. We want to thank both of y'all for calling in, and I'm sorry our co-host, Ms. Nikichi Taifa, we're having trouble hearing her on her phone.
I hear you loud and clear.
Are you still there? I can't hear you, Nikichi. I hear every other word.
I just want to thank everybody. I know you can't hear me, but I can hear you, so it's all good.
Okay. I guess we'll get this word straightened out for our next show, Nikichi. I'm sorry, because I really wanted to hear what you had to say, because you always got some valuable, potent, relevant comments. We'll take a break and come right back, and we'll be joined with Dr. Willie Jolly, the world-renowned motivational speaker, radio, TV personality, author, host, singer. Anything you can say that's positive, it fits our good friend, Dr. Willie Jolly, and he's going to come on after the break to let folks know what they can do while they're still incarcerated, some things you can do mentally to help keep your spirits intact and deal with some of the stress that I know you're going through. We'll be right back. Hey, yes, we will. We can make it, folk. And for those folk, man, this is for everybody. It's ironic that when you go to prison, your movements are restricted. You're in a certain house or cell you can't come out of. You can't go to the restaurant or the club or the movie. And every day you're being told what you can or cannot do. The whole world is incarcerated now. Everybody is under some form of lockdown, quarantine, or stay at home. And you can't go where you like to go or want to go, and you got a curfew. This is what it's like to be incarcerated, and it's amazing that the whole world is feeling the pains of incarceration. We're being joined now with our good friend, excuse me, Dr. Willie Jolly. Are you there, Doc?
I am here, my brother. Merry Christmas.
And happy Groundhog Day to you, Willie.
Well, greetings to all your listeners all over the D.C. area, as well as those worldwide on the web. And they know I start the same way. I have only just a minute, only 60
yes.
seconds.
And, man, I'm glad you agreed to come on, because I know what it's like to be in one of themselves. And I don't know what it's like to be in there with this kind of threat, that you could die at any moment because of this close contact inside of institutions. And I know these men and women are having some terrible mental issues, man, and dealing with stress, hopelessness, frustration. What would you say to our folk?
Well, you know, you just heard that song that I'm very grateful we released last week called We'll Get Through This. And the song was prompted by my desire to help people, wherever they may be, to get through this tough time. So I loved what you said earlier about we are all incarcerated now and are all feeling some of the anxiety and angst that our brothers and sisters who have been in institutionally incarcerated. So what do I say to people? here's what I say. I wrote a book some years ago called Turn Setbacks into Greenbacks. And in that book, I tell people that it's very critical right now you do seven things that will help you through this tough moment. And I say this to everybody because I know the brothers and sisters in the institution, and you were sharing with them offline how very challenging it is with all of the difficulties. And then the ones who are not in the institution but are locked in their homes, many of them are challenged because they've lost their jobs, they've lost their income, they've lost their security. One, don't panic. Whatever you do, do not panic. Because panic is taken from the Greek word to choke. When you panic, you choke off the air to your brain so you cannot think your way through this process. You must stay positive and don't panic. Number two, don't willingly participate or commiserate. Now, don't willingly participate means don't do anything that would help you become more part of the problem than part of the solution. In other words, if they say that the solution is don't get around crowds and wash your hands, then don't participate in doing something other than that which will keep you healthy. Mm-hmm. And then don't commiserate. Don't just talk about the gloom all day long. And limit your television time. Critically important. I did an email to my whole global list today that if you take a sponge, put it in a bucket of water, at some point it's unable to do what it was created to do, which is soak up water. You are created to be a creative person. And if you are overwhelmed with bad news, gloom and doom, you are ineffective in being able to do what you were created to do, bring your gifts to the world. So those are three of the things that I tell people that are critical, because you've got to stay positive in this challenging time, something we've never experienced and something we're not used to. And people in the institutional incarceration have never experienced, and they've got, on top of that, these crowded conditions. So don't panic. Stay calm as best as you can, and don't do the things that would make you sick. We don't want anybody to be part of the problem, but want the solution. And then don't dwell on the gloom and doom all day long.
So let me ask you this. Can you hear me now, Roach?
Yeah, I can hear you a little better. Come on, lady.
So Willie, this is Nikichi Taifa. How do you balance the staying positive and the don't commiserate? I mean, I don't want a situation where we're listening to CNN 24/7, but also don't want a situation where everyone's out in the park and strolling with their dog and their baby and going happy-go-lucky. So how do we balance those
things? Yeah, perfect. Great question. First of all, I tell you what I do. I limit my television time. I just get enough of it to know what's going on, maybe 10, 15 minutes, and then I turn it off. I'll turn on something else. I'll focus my time on something else. I'll read something positive. I'll listen to something positive. I'll find a program that encourages me. I've watched the last few days, one after another, some encouraging television programs. But I listen to music, positive music. Now, in terms of my going out, when I go out, I go out for maybe a walk to go, to take my exercise. I make a point of, okay, I got to remember that I'm not going to participate in getting ill. So if somebody is close up, I give them their 6 to 12 feet, 6 to 10 feet, to let them walk. I slow down, and I just take my time. I'm going to do all I can to be part of the solution. And that means staying healthy. So, we want you to not get into a place where you are not going out to do exercise or going to the grocery store, but just be wise. Just be wise about it. Get your face mask if necessary, or your gloves if you're going to the store. Whatever it is, just make a point that I'm going to be wise. I've got to be wise. But then I'm also going to fill myself up with the pure, the powerful, and the positive. I'm going to fill myself up because it's important to have a reservoir of resources that you can pull from in these kind of times. And that's why I'm listening to positive music, reading positive books, staying positive, because there's enough negative out there to take us all down.
You know,
You know, Willa, one of the things that I'm affected by the situation, like, and I was in solitary and lost and went insane. It took me some in the same asylum. I used to lay in the cell, man. I thought I was going to die because I didn't know how long I was in. It was hopeless. It was gloom and doom. One of the things I was doing was just trying to find pictures that I saw in the street that remind me of a beautiful place or happy times. And I try to throw my thoughts on those positive things. And I'm suggesting that's one of the things that me folks were doing.
Yeah, I believe that it's very important that you make your thinking something that's uplifting. That's why first thing in the morning, my team and I do an affirmation. And we do it every single day. We do it now virtually. We all are connected via, you know, cell phone or Zoom call. And we do a chant that we would do in the office every morning at the beginning of our day. We would do an affirmation to speak into our lives what we want. And I think you're talking about visualization is the same thing. But here's what we do. We say this word. I say, I am healthy. And everybody repeats, I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am happy. I am whole. I feel terrific. I am blessed and highly favored. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Mm-hmm. And I pray today, send prosperity, send good things my way, and I'll do all I can to make it happen on my part today. And we say that every day. Now, if somebody wants that affirmation list, they can go to jollygoodnews.org. That's my faith-based site. But if you go to just winwithwilly.com, winwithwilly.com, you're going to get access to the music video that'll lift your spirits. You can get access to the Jolly Good News site. You can get access to all of my websites. And there's something on every website to help you through this tough time. So winwithwilly.com. And the Jolly Good News is the one you would hit and get that affirmation.
I really like that affirmation that you did. And hopefully everyone wrote that down that website. That's Jolley, for those who don't.
That's right.
Now, I'm hoping that people who are inside, because, you know, Roach's show is heard throughout the prisons and institutions, if they can't do anything else, that they can possibly memorize and recite that affirmation to be able to help them continue on and go strong. But I also want them to know that there are people out here on the outside that are really trying to fight for them, trying to give them a voice and to have their messages be heard as well. So thank you for that affirmation.
You know what? I am so always inspired when I'm around Roach Brown and Martine, because they refuse to forget from whence they've come. And the fact that Roach continues to be a leader, a fighter, a champion for those who many times get forgotten. And so when they call me and say, can you find time to schedule, I always try and find a way to make it happen, because, you know, one of my books is very popular in prison. A Setback is a Setup for a Comeback. It's very popular.
Yes.
In prison. And so many of the prisoners write me and say, so, you know, tell me the stories of how that book inspired them. And I think of Roach as an example of a great setback into comeback story. And he is continuing to fight the fight, to give the good fight. So I just am so inspired by his, I don't call it mission. I call it his ministry. You know, I really do think that Roach is ministering to people who sometimes are the lost and the forgotten. And he's encouraging them to let them know, hey, we're still here for you. We haven't forgotten you. We love you. We are here as part of your network and part of your team. So I applaud y'all for what you always do and have continued to do for so many years.
Thank you, Willa. You know, one of the things I like to say, thanks a lot, man. And I'll give you, the check is in the mail, Willie, for saying that.
No, it's true, though. It's true. Thank you, but it's all true. And one thing I'm saying is Roach is really a really smart man. Let me tell you, he's a smart man. How do I know he's a smart man? Because he married Martine.
I'll give an amen to that, to Roach and Martine.
So I'm encouraging those who are listening, wherever you are. You know, we need encouragement now.
Yes.
This is unprecedented that we would see a situation like this. We've been through 9/11, terroristic attack, impacted our economy, impacted our lives. There was great fear. But it was singular. We were only concerned then about terrorists. Would it happen again? We saw 2008, where there was an economic bubble that burst. It impacted the economy. We all went through a tough moment, but it was singular. It only impacted our financial state. Today, we are in something that I've never seen before. We've got a terrorist attack by something we cannot see. Second, it won't just hurt you, it will kill you. And third, it's impacted the finances. Never seen this ever. So what we've got to be encouraging of each other. We've got to help each other. People are having anxiety, mental anxiety, the physical anxiety. So I'm doing all I can, my radio shows, all about helping encourage people. I'm doing a Facebook Live every Saturday morning at 10 on my jollygoodnews.org. I'm doing a good news report. All I talk about is good news, something good that happened that we just encourage people. And, of course, got the song that we put out. We put it out first in song, started playing on radio. Now it's a video that's being on television. All we can do to try and help people to get through this, if we work together, we encourage each other, we'll get through this situation. We want to let you know that we are praying for you, pulling for you, and proceeding to continue to fight for you.
Okay, I want to throw something out to our folks, our listeners that's incarcerated. In the federal system, they increased the phones from 300 minutes to 500 minutes you're allowed to call out. And we're asking them to make all phone calls coming from the prison free. But additionally, you men in the Steel Inside Institute, you need to call home and encourage your families, man. Get under support. Your mothers, women, grandmothers, and kids, man, are in a state of panic. They are afraid. They don't know what to do. And the man at the house is not there. Or the mom is not there. So we need to encourage, as opposed to calling and cursing them out and being mad about you didn't get this, you didn't get that. The money is drying up. Most of the mothers or women that are fixed income or living below the poverty level. Don't discourage your family. They need you more than ever before, but they want you there with them. But also, build them up. Encourage them. Let them know it's going to get better. This is going to pass, too. And your kids. We did a show with a few kids a few weeks ago about kids of incarcerated parents. Kids are hurting. We got our five-year-old grandbaby right there with us right now. And we're trying to let them know, what is the virus? You need to sit down and explain to them what's going on. But when you call from prison to home, don't be mad, man. I know you're uptight, you're mad, you're frustrated, and you feel hopeless. But your family feel a little worse than you because you're there. Give them some encouragement. Build their morale up. Tell them it's going to get better, and you're going to be there with them, okay? Because we can't live in an environment where we deal with all negativity and nobody's talking positive. And because of our loved ones still inside of the institution, they are catching double hell. So we need to encourage everybody. Like we're talking about the people in prison, the whole world needs encouragement. Everybody's locked up now. We're all on lockdown. We all are restricted. We can't go here or can't go there. So you're feeling the pains of incarceration out here around the world. So for you guys inside, you know what it's like. You know when the moments you hit low, that you can't make it or you feel like you want to give up, you find a way to deal with it and keep on pumping. But pump your families up, man. Pump your kids up. Keep them encouraged.
Amen. I concur with you on that, Roach. And we want to encourage those who can call home and encourage their families. This is time when we all got to lead. You know, we just got to lead. Yeah. And we got to do all we can to help as many as we can. So I concur.
And this is the time, if at no other time, that we on the outside can and should empathize with people on the inside. As Roach said, we are all on lockdown now. We're not supposed to go outside our house. Well, look at the people who got 10, 20, 30 years, life without parole, who can't, they live inside a room, a cell, okay? Don't have the creature comforts to be able to call DoorDash or anything like that to have food delivered or anything along those lines. We are experiencing this for hopefully it'll be a short period of time, but there are those who are part of our community who are incarcerated, who this is their always everyday lifestyle. So empathy is really important as well.
Let me give you one more thought that I want to share with those who are incarcerated. I told you I'd do this Saturday morning call, and it just started 2 weeks ago because I said, I got to do more. I got the song out. I went to a website and read about someone who inspired me, and I said, I hope this will inspire some people who are struggling right now. And it's of the great neurologist who was in a Nazi prison, and how he changed his thinking to
Man's Search for Meaning.
Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. And Dr. Viktor Frankl, he has a great quote that I just think is so profound that I would say to those who might be in a place. His quote is that the main thing is everything can be taken from a man or woman, but one thing, the last human freedom, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances.
And what it is.
And that is the key. You can't control what happens to you, what happens around you, but you got complete control of what happens in you. Just like I said at affirmation, I choose to be healthy. I choose to be wealthy. Even if I have no money, I'm wealth-minded. I choose to be happy. Happiness is a choice. I choose to be whole. I choose to be grateful. I'm grateful for something. Find something. I love that quote. Again, Viktor Frankl, everything can be taken from a man or a woman, but one thing, the last human freedom, to choose one's attitude in any given set of circumstances.
Yes. Yes.
All right, so I encourage people to choose your attitude that okay. I'm going to be grateful.
You want to give us some closing thoughts, Willie, because we got a couple of minutes to go before we...
Yeah, of course. I want to, again, thank Roach Brown and Mertine for their tireless commitment to those in our community who have been incarcerated. You know, the Bible speaks that the carpenter from Galilee, he said we must always be mindful of the poor, those who are in jail, the widows, because we need to make sure we don't forget them. And so that is all what we try to do, and y'all have led the fight for that. Second, I told you there were 7 points. I gave you 3. Don't panic. Don't willingly participate nor commiserate. Then there's don't stop thinking about the power and possibility of tomorrow. While you're going through this tough time, keep one eye on this problem that we're dealing with right now, but one eye on your goals and dreams, the long term, the long game, the end game, because you want to keep going. This will pass, but we want to be thinking about the future while we're dealing with this. Then be proactive. Do all you can with what you can while you can. You still got life. You got creativity. You got gifts. You got skills. I think back to Robert Hooks, and Roach knows so well about that story, who started a theater group.
D.C. Black Repertory.
Repertoire. And many of them were, Roach was part of it, with theater programs. And they used their creativity. So be proactive, be creative, and last but not least, folks, be prayerful. Be prayerful.
Be prayerful.
Now,
okay,
actually, that's number one.
We appreciate it.
That's number one, but I put it number 7 because far too many people will pray and do nothing else. So I want you to pray and then take action. If we do, we'll get through this together. So I thank y'all for letting me be part of
this continued
program of hope for the future, because the best is yet to come.
We appreciate you taking your time, your busy schedule. This man is the international motivational speaker worldwide. So thank you. thank you for those words of encouragement. I just want to close out and say that we started a group called the Inner Voices in Lorton. And the Inner Voices means getting in touch with your inner voice. This is about you can make it if you believe you can make it. You got to think positive to come out of this. And Willie says something that's very, a lot of things that's key. One of them is, regardless of what's going on with the crisis, keep your eye on your goal to get out, to reunite with your families, and be successful to take care of your loved ones. You can do that. I don't care. Behind every crisis, there's an opportunity.
Right.
And some of y'all can think of, come up with some ideas or some things you need to think about in there. What can you do while you're inside to help deal with this crisis? Because your family, we all need you. We folks are trying hard to get as many of you out of prison as we possibly can. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. And keep on encouraging your families that y'all can make it, man. Like Willie said, even this shall pass. We'll get through this, people. We got through worse than this. Hello, Nikichi?
Yeah, so I just wanted to say thank you very much for everything. I'm always psyched whenever I hear Willie Jolly and all of his one-minute phenomenal, inspirational words of wisdom. Roach, I just want to express my extreme condolences to you and Martine for the loss of your brother. So many of us are leaving around, at this time, so we have to really keep our spirits up and the like. So condolences to you. And I just want to say to all the folk who are locked down, on the inside, we on the outside are in fact fighting for you. We're calling upon the governors. We're calling upon the president. We're calling upon public officials and all to do what needs to be done. Commutations can be done. Reprieves can be done. There's so many things, Turtle, and we're trying to hit all of those for you first. Thank you so much, everyone.
Nikita, you just said it. We got a few seconds, but there's a lot of things. I mean, they can put the folks that they're worried about with these bottom fences or been in a long time or whatever. You can put them on electronic monitors. There's the furlough program. There's work release. There's all kinds of it. There's compassion release. There's things, tools at their disposal to use. Please use them and let our people out, because what's the call? Free them all.
Free them all.
What's the call?
Free them all.
So until next week, remember that this is Roach Brown on Crossroads with Martine and Nikichi. To Chris, our engineer, Jackie, Craig Bay, our associate producer, and everybody that helped make this show, and our other friend, Bob Haney, who's been working with us with these op-eds and with the show. Thank everybody. Please stay safe. And to my big brother I lost yesterday, I love you, Ray, and I'll never forget you, man. Thank you. Remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
Get through this. No matter what. It's the 10th time you've heard.